for the voluntary pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Fill in with my mic here. All right, the next item on the agenda is the approval of the minutes. Do I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Nancy Strand moves. John Haverlick seconds to approve the agenda. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Minutes. I'm sorry. Okay. I jumped in. Motion passes. Amendment approval of the meeting agenda. Are there any amendments to the agenda? Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Nancy Strand moved. John Haverlick seconds to approve the meeting agenda. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Moving on to public hearings and bid awards. There are none. And visitors' views related to the agenda. Is there anyone who would like to speak to the agenda this evening? Liz, if you'd come up to the podium.
Hi, I'm Liz Woodyard from Petersburg Medical Center. I just want to talk about the agenda item to consider paying for the exhaust stack at the hospital. And just to kind of reiterate, the hospital fills a very vital role in any community, but especially this community. We provide care 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And we are an essential service to the community, just like the police, fire, and schools. Many local communities in Alaska and throughout the rest of the nation recognize the importance of having a community hospital to ensure a vibrant community. And therefore, they do provide financial support to their hospitals. Our hospital building is aging and will continue to need regular repairs and maintenance. Grant funding for capital improvements that we have had in the past has gone away. As you probably are aware, the state of Alaska and the decreasing amount of state dollars. The hospital board, therefore, is asking for the support of the assembly to pay for the cost of the shared exhaust stack at a cost of $21,900.
All right, thank you, Liz. Is there anyone else that would like to speak to any agenda items? Karen.
My name is Karen Malcolm, and I here represent myself and my little business called Journeys with Parks and Rec. I'm here to show my support for the proposed HVAC replacement for Parks and Rec. The borough very generously gave us a huge fan in our room for working out in. We're in the old racquetball court that has zero ventilation. There's no windows except for one that's plexiglassed, and the fan is immensely helpful. However, with the HVAC system broken, all it does is blow hot air. So we are either freezing or roasting. And I'm fortunate because my particular class, I do strength training and yoga, whereas there's two other teachers that do high-intensity aerobics. And they are really miserable in there. So if this is any way possible, I would really appreciate your support in that. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Anyone else?
14C, I'll wait
till. If it's related to the agenda, you're welcome to come up and speak.
Are you on the agenda?
Pardon?
Are you on the agenda?
It's visitors' views related to the agenda.
Okay. So I can speak now? Right?
Yes.
My name is John Mergus. I'm representing myself. I'm one of many volunteers who have been involved with the remote weather observation systems at the south end of the island. And the I'm here just to applaud the letter of support that you have before you for the ARWIS site at Blackery Point. That system got underway about 13 years ago with a RAC grant of $5,000 after too many boating and airplane fatalities between the two communities. And it started out with just a an analog old-fashioned cell phone, bag phone that you'd dial up and get some weather observations, but it worked quite well. And then about 8 years ago, the state of Alaska, who was kind of watching our progress on that, stepped in and offered to be involved with it as part of their road weather information systems. And they've been improving it steadily throughout the years. Now with a camera that's at Banana Point that many of you are enjoying every time you go out the end of the road. The latest thing that they would like to do, they were here about 2 weeks ago, an engineer with DOT and Mr. Jack Stickle, who's with Program Development, who's in charge of the state ARWIS program, and they are interested in putting in a permanent meteorological observation station at Blackery Point, right at the new boat ramp. And the funding for that will probably cost about $50,000. I did get an email from Mr. Stickle yesterday, and maybe that says thank you for involvement in the program. And the engineer has provided the preliminary material and cost estimates, and we have submitted the project for the upcoming statewide transportation improvement program for funding. If successful, we would have access to the funding in about 3 months. And so by no means is this guaranteed, but the letter of support that you have would go a long way at helping that move forward. That's about all I have. The letter is pretty self-explanatory, and I don't need to expound upon it very much. If anybody has any questions on that, I'd be happy to answer them.
Thank you.
Hey, thank you.
Any other visitors' views related to the agenda? Moving on, visitors' views unrelated to the agenda. Dave.
Hello, my name is Dave Nauman. I work for Parks and Rec. Donnie Hayes, my boss. I'm the guy building the shelter out of Sandy Beach, and I just wanted to let you guys know that it's been a privilege to work on that project, show it the respect that it deserves, and it continues to be a privilege. That being said, we all know that it's gone past the date that we initially said that it would be done. And so to that end, I was just here to avail myself to any questions that you guys might have about the shelter. So here I am.
Madam Mayor, if I may.
Yes, please.
Question or comment, I guess. I guess I would ask, you mentioned that it's gone longer than you would have liked it to have gone on. If you could pinpoint why, or in your words say why that is, it would be great.
Yeah, I've been thinking about that a lot lately. I would say, initially, I miscalculated the magnitude of the project as far as what it takes to do a structure like that at the standard that it's being done. Also, miscalculations at the beginning, when I was asked how long it was going to take me, my first response was whether you want a postcard or an embarrassment. You know, that doesn't really narrow anything down, but that's how I felt. More tangible than that would be the dressing of the logs took much, much longer than I expected, than I had the experience to even know how long it would take. So if a guy could go back, I would do things a little differently. But that being said, again, they're all dressed now, and we're in the final stages of construction.
So You and I have talked a little bit about this project and a couple things that people may not know. You also told me you were sick during part of that period, and that also, and many people may not know this, that at least one of the logs, I think, did you say the truss for the roof was stolen?
One rafter was stolen from the ballpark,
And so that also affected the project. But I'm curious to know what you project as the time frame to have it finished.
Well, as I told you before, every time I've made that prediction, I have been wrong. So I'm hesitant to say now, dig myself in deeper.
Oh, go for
okay.
it.
Okay. Negative. It's kind of misleading is the wrong word, but I have 6 notches and a long groove to do, okay, before the main basic structure is, all the cuts are done, okay? Now, that sounds like a little, but it doesn't relate to you what it takes to do that, you know, and it really needs to be done with care at this point, especially in the project, because if I scrap one of those logs, all those logs have been lofted. I don't know if you know what I mean when I say that, but it's a kind of a lengthy process in order to put the cuts on the logs. And so if I scrap one of those logs at this point, I got to go back and reassemble the lofting apparatus in order to redo a log to fit the logs I've already cut. And it's complicated. But so I don't have any concrete date for you right now.
Yeah, an outside figure?
An outside figure? I'm guessing. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
A couple months. You know what I mean? Giving myself time.
By June of 2015, how's that?
Yeah. There's going to be, once the structure itself is complete, basically complete, meaning the logs are all in place,
mm-hmm.
there's going to be a punch list, as every building will have, that I got to go back in and fill in the rocks by the chimney, and I have to do a little bit more rock work in front and that kind of a thing.
But it'll be basically usable at that point.
Absolutely. Yeah. The roof will be on, it'll be dried in, it'll be totally usable and rentable, you know.
And I think that's what folks want to hear. It's a building that people really enjoy in this community, and so they're looking forward to having that available
right.
to them again.
Yeah, and I think that it's worth it, you know, if I may say that, you know, at the end here, is that this thing's going to stand there for everybody's grandkids to bring their grandkids, you know. It's going to last longer than the new fire department, you know. So it's taking a little time. It's going to be worth it on the other end. I just ask that you guys allow me to finish it like I've been doing.
Can I give my follow-up comment, Madam
mm-hmm.
Mayor?
Mm-hmm.
I guess my follow-up comment would be is thank you for your efforts. It is being done at a craftsman level. And I stress that word craftsman as a person who's done construction work. I know log work, and I know I'm not a craftsman at it, and I know what it takes to go into it. And it's truly amazing to see those logs cut within a millimeter type spaces to fit. It's phenomenal work. I encourage people to go out and take a peek at it. It's great. So thank you, sir.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And, you know, you guys are all welcome to come out, check it out, climb around on the thing, whatever. Anything else?
Mr. Mayor, I got one question for you there. Are we going to be within budget? Or are you going to be coming here and asking us for more money?
No, okay. I'm not asking you for any more money. Right now, I believe we are somewhere in the neighborhood of $10,000 under the grant.
Okay. And you can get that done in that period of time. Is there any room in there for anybody to help you so it gets done a little quicker? I know two hands usually make lighter work and goes faster.
I'm going to say no, that help will not make things faster. Because I have to stop, and I still have to do all the cuts myself. So I'm going to have a paid employee out there standing around helping me move a log and then and then waiting for me to move a log again, right, while I'm doing the finish work. And so I think that at this point in the process, I think that that is more detrimental to getting it done.
Any more questions? Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Looking forward to seeing it done.
So am I.
Is it possible for me to comment on this?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's up to me.
I just would like to show my support for Dave, because being working at Public Works and seeing him up there all winter long working on these logs, he's been working his tail off, and the public hasn't been able to see that. And I have, and I just want to, give him kudos for how hard he has been working on it. So,
thanks, Dan. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. All right. Any other visitors' views unrelated to the agenda? All right, moving along. Board, commission, and committee reports. We do not have any. Consent agenda, there is none. Report of other officers, there is none unless someone has something to offer. The next thing on the agenda is the mayor's report. And the one thing that I have to report is that, if folks are not aware, the Crystal Lake Hatchery, the Southern Southeast Regional Aquaculture Association, and ADF&G went up to Anchorage to request of Department of Transportation and Public Facilities if they could take responsibility for the replacement of the Crystal Lake Hatchery. And the state has awarded a one-time permit for that to occur. It should expedite the building of that facility, and we're hoping that it will also reduce the cost. So I have a letter that was written to Mark Jensen that says, thank you for your May 13th letter regarding the Crystal Lake Hatchery Replacement Project. The Department of Transportation and Public Facilities generally oversees state facility projects such as the Crystal Lake Hatchery. However, because DOT and PF is aware of the critical nature of this facility to the community of Petersburg, my staff has issued a delegation of authority and a waiver for alternative procurement to the Alaska Department of Fish and Game to construct this facility in order to expedite project completion. ADF&G is currently working with Southern Southeast Regional Aquaculture Association to get the hatchery replaced as soon as possible. And then they have some attached documents and the individuals that are going to be helping with that project, including some ADF&G people and some SRA people and an engineer. So good news, I think, overall for us, and it will be good to see that facility rebuilt. Moving on to unfinished business, we have an ordinance 2014-11. Sorry?
Managers.
Oh, I'm sorry. I blew right by you.
It's okay.
Go right ahead.
You're welcome to.
No, you had a lot to share. It's a warm evening. Next up on the agenda, the manager's report. I apologize, Steve.
That's okay. Transient boaters are beginning to use the North Harbor, and Lowe's telling us that they're real excited about the new facility. About half are having problems with the electric meters, which is unfortunately going to be an ongoing challenge for a lot of folks. And Wi-Fi in the harbor continues to be a big issue and a big request, so it's something we're trying to keep an eye on. We're able to set up between Glow and Carl and the vendor. Recycling program in the harbor has been set up by individual vessels. They go to the harbor shack, pick up the blue bags, and then they return the bags to the harbor office for Wednesday's pickup. We'll keep an eye on it throughout the summer and try to either expand it or control it better as we get a better feel for it. Public shower in the harbor was out of order. Thank you. We had some major plumbing issues at the building that we're going to have to take some hard look at, just basically result of age, and gets a lot of use. And, it's something we're going to have to take a hard look at as far as future capital expenditures on maintenance on that building. PFI, remember back a little ways, had a problem with one of their big transformers. The Petersburg Power and Light loaned them one of our spares, which they have elected to use all this summer. The new transformer that they ordered is in stock, but rather than try to replace it in the middle of the season, we're going to wait till the fall and we're okay with that. But Joe's team is, Joe Nelson's team is keeping a close eye on it with PFI to make sure we don't have any problems with it. Community gymnasium will be closed July 11th through the 20th. This is the annual maintenance to recoat the floors. Property tax invoices will go out no later than July 1st. Jody's also working on something that we're going to kind of get up to the assembly and ask you to kind of vet and talk about, which is writing up budget policies that we can then in turn give to the department heads and say, and the public in general, and say this is how the budget's put together. We're also considering going to a two-year budget, where we put a lot of work in up front and do a two-year budget, which may help be able to get a lot more input and focus on a period of time. And we're moving it earlier so we can avoid some of the fishing seasons and get work sessions done when everybody's here. So that's the plan anyway. And we've got to coordinate this with the hospital and the school and our department heads to make sure we can meet everybody's schedule. But there has been some discussion on a couple of occasions about lowering the mill rate for certain properties out at Frederick Point East in that area. Just as a FYI, that process kind of has to start with the property owners themselves. That's by the borough's charter. If folks in that area wish to go down that road, I think there's some support for it, but they're going to have to get it started. They can come in and see Kathy or I, and we can walk them through the charter process to make that happen. But the way the charter is written, it has to be initiated by them, and there's a process that they have to follow through. Assemblymember Lynn and I think Assemblymember Wolheuter asked about it as well. But it's a process that if you talk to those folks, encourage them to see Kathy or I, and we can kind of point them in the right direction. Sandy met with Steve Berry and John Murgis regarding Mr. Berry's lease out at Scow Bay. One of the things we kind of missed, because very few people realized it was there, but there's an underground tank out there that the fire department uses to put water in for some of their stuff. So we're working with Mr. Berry and Mr. Murgis to make sure that where he puts his lease is away from that tank, and doesn't, that way he doesn't get inconvenienced at some point if we have to dig the tank up or work on it. We also wanted to make sure that the burn tower won't pose a problem for what he's doing. We don't use it that frequently, but when we do, we don't want smoke from that burn tower affecting what he's doing. EMS volunteers trained with Jim Birch on our harbor staff and the harbor security boat in preparation for any off-island calls. Chief Swihart and Investigator Rossi participated in the Coast Guard's Alaska Marine Security Committee counter-drug teleconference on May 29th. This is a telegroup focused on collaborative efforts between local, state, and federal agencies. We're trying to do as much work as we can with the Coast Guard and some of these other federal agencies, particularly around some of the drug issues. Kelly and his staff met with Spillman. It's a records management company. They were here in town June 10th and 11th to kind of demonstrate their software for dispatch, police, fire, EMS, and jail records management. What we have today is not sufficient and poses some lots of kind of double work for a lot of folks, as well as accuracy. So we got a demonstration. It's a module-based system with a lot of different parts and pieces, and that evaluation is going to take some time to figure out what pieces are would work for us and which ones are a bit overkill. But Kelly's working with them as well as the fire department to figure that out. Officer Pop facilitated a bike rodeo with 51 second and third graders from the elementary school. Safety and maintenance recovered, and a road course was included. So thanks to him and the group that put that on. Captain Hamilton, Sergeant Kerr, and Officer King participated in a marine marksmanship training in Wrangell and also did some work getting used to the training on the security boat. Again, it's something we're trying to get the boat out and get the folks who are likely to use it a lot more comfortable with it. So when they do an emergency, they know what they're doing. Wanted to congratulate Ron Ware, who will succeed Tom Letton as the foreman for the streets crew. He and the crew will have their hands full. We got a kind of a long list this summer of projects, including lowering the handrails on Birch Street Bridge, the culvert installation on Unimac, the remainder of the Rasmus Inge Bridge work, and decommissioning of the old Pump Station 5 site. And we do have some water and sewer system repairs that we'd like to get to this year. And then they've got their standard grading and, you know, dust control issues that they're trying to deal with. He'll have a lot of work to do, and again, congratulations to him for getting the job. Our overall recycling rate for baled waste versus recyclables is up to 24%. In 2012, it was 11%. So we've done a pretty good job there. If I remember Carl's number right, then what we were shooting for is 40. So we're about halfway there. And again, we're just trying to, like the harbor and a few other places, we're trying to reach out and, you know, add people to the mix as well as get people to recycle more. You know, my wife was playing around in the process of us moving, and I can't remember, I think it was John Haverlick who mentioned the statement about potentially could we go to 1 week garbage, 1 week recycle. She just laughed at me and said basically it'd be like recycle garbage, that enough, if you're really doing it, that's how much recycle you could be putting aside. So anyway, we'll see if we can get everybody else to agree with her. Rock and Road has been working on the landfill slope stabilization progress. That is, again, goes back to the North Harbor dredge spoils that we were having a problem with, and covering up the old metals pile and then rebuilding a new pad for the new metals pile. We're hoping to have all that done before the end of summer. The annual household hazardous waste event was held on May 31st and June 1st. We had over 41 drums of and 6 large cartons of waste that were removed from the community. Something we do does cost us, but it's a service to the community. We'd much rather pick it up that way than have it poured in creeks and down storm drains. The new grader that the assembly approved has been ordered. We expect it here in July. Kind of an interesting part of that is it's a totally new control system. It goes to basically a joystick type control. And the part of the deal is the manufacturer will actually bring a simulator in for our guys to train on in late June, so they can actually work in the simulator before they touch the real machine. At a couple hundred thousand or better, they can spend a lot of time in that simulator before we make our mistakes there. And the Petersburg Power and Light new crew truck replacement should be arriving in Petersburg next week. Motor Pool will work on transferring the truck bed and the dump hoist as soon as it gets here, and then we'll release it to Power and Light. And that's it, unless there's questions.
You mentioned on the recycling at the harbor, it has the tour boats, are they part of that?
I was told yes. Glow, can you elaborate on that?
Yes, the tour boats are working with Dave Berg and collecting the recycle that way. We're working individually with boats that want to participate, you know, with the blue bag deal, but the tour ships are, they're kind of escalated to a higher level.
Thanks. One question as well. You mentioned complaints about the Wi-Fi in the harbor. I know it's kind of an ongoing thing. It's something that Jody and I talked about earlier this spring. Do you have any number as to what it would cost to Wi-Fi the whole harbor and just make it there as a piece of infrastructure?
No, I don't. Although it's good timing, we have our IT tech in town this week, and I believe it's on his list to actually go look and see. Now, Glow, you may have gotten a cost at one time.
We did have PCS take a look at, you know, when we were talking about designing the new North Harbor, and to do the entire harbor, they were talking about $30,000.
$30,000?
Mm-hmm. Just the North Harbor or all three?
No, the entire harbor. We would have to have, you know, special setups throughout the harbor to get the antenna structure set up for that.
Well, I'd be curious in the same time to learn some more about it. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Moving on to unfinished business, we have an ordinance for the third and final reading, ordinance 2014-11. An ordinance placing the question of exemption from Alaska Public Officials Financial Disclosure Law on the October 7th, 2014 municipal election ballot.
So moved.
Okay. Nancy Strand moves. John Haverlick seconds that we pass the put the ordinance on the ballot to exempt Alaska public officials from financial disclosure. Kathy, can you take the roll?
Cindy.
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
And Kurt?
Yes.
And the motion passes unanimously. Moving on to new business, we have Resolution 1408, a resolution authorizing the Petersburg Chamber of Commerce to promote and provide 4th of July activities along North Nordic, including temporary vendor booths on the 4th and 5th of July.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved by John Haverlick and seconded by Nancy Strand that we authorize the Chamber of Commerce to issue permits for temporary vendor booths on the 4th and 5th of July. Is there any discussion?
I guess maybe it's an ignorant question, and I'll take responsibility for that if it is. What is the current system for 4th of July?
Well, this is why it's on the ballot. There had been a question during Little Norway Festival because the chamber rents booth space during that period of time too, and that would be my question, why we don't have both events on this resolution.
Donnie can answer that.
Somebody set up a table, paid for one table and set up two. Somebody put up a table and did not pay for it up front. And so when the chamber looked into their authority to issue permits and how to collect money from those individuals, we realized we really didn't have any language in our municipal code that allowed the chamber to do that. And so we're addressing that issue.
I guess the point of clarification was 4th of July and Little Norway were done in the way you're talking about right now, and this is to give it added structure, more or less.
I think actually currently it's not allowed.
Donnie, do you want to speak to this?
Yeah, according to the borough code, there actually isn't allowed to be any transient sales to be made on sidewalks, streets, parks, etc. And so once you realize a mistake, you have to correct it. And so that's what we're trying to do with this right now. And to answer the second part, which why do we not have both events on this? And the reason that is because here in the next couple of months, Jody and I will sit down and look at the ordinance that says that and actually put those events and a couple other items in there as well to be able to kind of clarify that for us, you know, officially.
Sure. That makes perfect sense.
If I may, what it is an issue of it's always been done this way, and suddenly we realized that there was no law or enforcement or rule that backed up how we've been doing it. So the resolution was an attempt to get us through 4th of July until we can get the ordinance redone.
Duly noted.
Good question. Would it save us time and energy and whatever to add May 17th activities as an amendment?
I think Donnie was saying they'll just address it later on when they recraft the ordinances. So we're just passing a resolution as a temporary measure, and then the municipal code will be updated to capture both at the same time.
Correct.
And then we'll get to look at it then. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, will the clerk take the roll?
Jay.
Yes.
Nancy.
Yes.
John.
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes. And the motion passes unanimously. Moving on to item B, 14-7177, and authorization to accept the proposal from ATS Alaska to update the aging and failing HVAC system for the community gymnasium in an amount not to exceed $137,000 and $137,538.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved by John Haverlick and seconded by Nancy Strand that we approve this authorization. Is there any discussion?
Way back in 94 when I was principal of the high school and middle school, we had this problem. So it's been at least 20 years. And what I'm wondering, and maybe Donnie knows this or Steve knows this, is this really the solution? Because when I tried to get that solved, because I was an avid racquetball player, I would lose 300 pounds every time I went into the court. At that time, I think Zeke or whoever in charge said the ducts system was wrong or something, and it would take rebuilding everything to get it going right, and Jerry Hager would just say, it's impossible, you know, and then walk another way with a few words. But is this the solution? I don't want to waste $140,000. I know we're wasting tens and thousands of gallons of fuel over the years because it's way too hot in there. Will this do it?
Well, I guess there's two separate problems that we're really dealing with. Number one, we're wasting energy, whether it be right. fuel or electricity, on the system. And the second part is the heat issue. And so to understand the system is run off of one big compressor. And so what that compressor does is it actually pumps air to an actuator and tells that actuator, okay, you need to open up to let heat into the system. Well, all the springs and all the actuators have lost their tension. And so the air pumps into that actuator, opens, and because the tension is so weak now, it takes forever for it to close. And so as it's open the whole entire way through, it's still just pumping tons and tons and tons of heat. And so it takes a long time for it to get level with itself. And so number one, that's going to help us to save money because it's not going to have to pump as much heat into the building to keep it at a level temperature. And then number two, that'll allow us to be able to say, okay, we can actually keep the racquetball court at 65 degrees or the gymnasium at 70 degrees, whereas right now we don't have that ability at all.
But you're sure this is the cure?
I do.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Are there any other questions? Hearing none, will the clerk call the roll?
Cindy.
Yes.
Nancy.
Yes.
John.
Yes.
Kurt.
Yes.
And Jay.
Yes.
Motion passes unanimously. Moving on to item C, 14-178, letter of support for the proposed RWIS site at Blackberry Point. And there is a letter that is addressed to Pat Kemp, the Commissioner for State of Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. Dear Mr. Kemp, I am taking the opportunity to write this letter in support of establishing a permanent road weather information system site at Blackberry Point on the south end of Mitkoff Island, adjacent to state-owned Mitkoff Highway. A similar site was established by way of the U.S. Forest Service Resource Advisory Committee funding many years ago, but this site is in disrepair and mostly inaccessible for maintenance tasks. The prospect of ADOT moving the components of the old station to a permanent station adjacent to Mitkoff Highway, in addition to new monitoring equipment and a webcam, has several benefits to the communities of Petersburg and Wrangell, as well as to ADOT M&O staff in Petersburg. As you surely know, Southeast Alaska weather can change rapidly, and stations as proposed by ADOT will allow residents and visitors to access current weather information on the internet, as is the standard for information dissemination in this day and age. In the past, many local residents have depended on the availability of weather information from the south end of Mitkoff Island to ensure their safety when seeking travel via land or water in that area. It is a surety that this project would be well utilized and appreciated by local residents. Additionally, as many school-aged children travel by small vessel to and from Wrangell and Petersburg via South Mitkoff, their safety will be better met by school officials and parents having access to relevant weather information in this area prior to such travel. Moving the station next to the highway will also allow for easier access and maintenance, which also supports a highly reliable service to the public. Lastly, local, state, M&O staff will be able to utilize the RWIS site to monitor road conditions and plan maintenance activities in support of public safety at all times of the year. The borough sees ADOTPF's work at the site as an essential public safety service for the residents of Petersburg and Wrangell and is fully supportive of ADOT's plans to set up a permanent RWIS site at this location. Do we have a motion to approve the letter?
So moved.
Second.
Nancy Strand moves and Jay Stanton Gregor seconds. Is there any discussion?
I would. To me, this is a huge safety issue for us and our neighbors in Wrangell. And I would like to send a similar letter to PIA. The federal monies PIA was bringing in from the time I was there is a little over $1 million. I think it's about $800,000 now. But it's specifically for things like this. And I know, even if the state didn't support it, or maybe they would go in with PIA to do it, because we did several mutual programs when I was there. And if that would encourage this to get done, because I feel this is a very important issue, I don't think it would hurt. I think it would only help get this accomplished.
And would you be interested in doing that as a separate motion or an amendment to this?
Whatever would work out best. I'd like to do this amendment to this, since that would only take one vote then.
And do we need a second?
Second.
All right. It's been moved that we amend the letter to also include Petersburg Indian Association. Is there any more discussion? Hearing none, will the clerk call the roll on the amendment?
John?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes. And the amendment passes. And then we go back to the motion, yes? And can the clerk call the roll on the main motion?
John?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Yes. And the motion passes. We will send the letter to PIA and to ADOT and public facilities. The next item on our agenda is another letter, 14-179, letter to encourage timely and equitable settlement of contract negotiations between the State of Alaska Administration and vessel employees of the Alaska Marine Highway System. And this is dealing with contract negotiations for employees. And I will read the letter addressed to the International Association of Master's Mates and Pilots, as well as ADOT and Public Facilities. Partners in Alaska, the Petersburg Borough addresses this communication to our partners in Alaska that want the best for our communities and people. Like most of Southeast Alaska, we rely on the Alaska Marine Highway System for basic transportation of our visitors, citizens, and goods and services. Previous reductions in service by Alaska Marine Highway System have had a severe impact on our economy and the quality of life of our residents. The Petersburg Borough encourages the parties involved in this dispute to take this into account as your negotiations continue. From your own mission statement, the mission of the Alaska Marine Highway System is to provide safe, reliable, and efficient transportation of people, goods, and vehicles among Alaska communities, Canada, and the lower 48, while providing opportunities to develop and maintain a reasonable standard of living and high quality of life, including social, education, and health needs. As this states, the Marine Highway System is our connection to the rest of the world. It is our interstate highway, our state highway, and our railroad, all built into one package. And I would parenthetically add also our classrooms. Our communities in Southeast rely on its affordable service, and we suggest that all parties involved realize this fact. Disruption in service to our communities has an impact far beyond the lost fares in the AMHS system. We of the Petersburg Borough encourage a timely and equitable settlement of this dispute. In addition, we continue to suggest to AMHS and their employee groups that the continual reductions in service from AMHS is a disservice to all Alaskans, and particularly to those of us living without the benefit of state and federal road system connections. Please keep all of this in mind as you continue your discussions. And do I have a motion on the letter?
So move.
Second.
John Haverlick moved. Nancy Strand seconded that we send this letter to the Employees Association and to the Alaska Marine Highways, to ADOT and PF. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, will the clerk call the roll?
John?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Cindy.
Yes, and the motion passes unanimously. Moving on to item E, 14-182, request from Petersburg Medical Center for the borough to finance the replacement of the medical center boiler exhaust stack. PMC needs to remove and replace an old exhaust stack that is leaking. The repair must be completed while the new roof is being replaced around it, and Alaska Commercial Contractors, Inc. has given a total bid of $21,900 for the work. And Steve, do you want to speak to this? Or maybe, am I putting you on the spot?
You can. Mike, this is a letter received from Petersburg Medical Center. It missed the last agenda by a matter of hours, so to speak. So they're requesting money. It is not budgeted in this year's budget. So this is something the assembly would have to weigh in on if you want us to amend the budget. That will take three readings, but with a vote of the assembly in the positive, we could fund it and then go through the process of the three readings. But anyway. Takes an assembly action before this can be done.
That's true. And do we have a motion on the on approving this expenditure?
So moved.
I'll second.
Jay Stanton Greger moved, and Kurt Walhuter seconded that we fund the repair work at the Petersburg Medical Center in the amount of $21,900 for the exhaust stack that is leaking. Is there any discussion?
I don't know where to start on this one. A couple months ago, we had come to an agreement that, I thought, and Steve and Liz mentioned that they had sort of had the outlines of what we were going to do, and it didn't seem like there was any financial arrangement. Then it seemed like there was our responsibility of the hospital at that time. Was we would put them on our capital projects list, and that was pretty much it. And it was brought up to do like a tenant landlord thing. He said, no, you know, we don't want to get into any of that. So the money, money always bothers me, but the precedent of starting to pay for things that we're not prepared to pay for or hadn't put in our budget or was brought that this was going to come up in you know, this year, next year, the year after. And this is one of the reasons I'm concerned about our budget process is, you know, one, we're setting a precedent if we start paying these things. And then what, and I know the hospitals, I've gone through their maintenance unit because I helped out a couple months ago working with a young man, and it's dismal. There's a lot more repairs that are needed, probably several hundred thousand. And you know, I don't see one. I don't, you know, in 50 years, I've checked with some seniors around. We haven't had to pay any building repairs or building upkeep or renovations. So, are we going to start doing that now? And if we are, where are we going to get the money? And are we changing the relationship with the hospital? Because it seems we are. I don't know what the answers to that are, and I'm pretty uncomfortable with starting anything now.
I, too, have a problem paying for repairs. I don't think we should get into it. It is setting a bad precedent. So I'm not in favor of this.
Any thoughts?
In terms of money, 21K, fine. It is what it is. I think I'll have to echo what Member Haverlick said about the nature of our relationship with the hospital. I think it is really important to define what that is right now. And I know, from my perspective, I feel like, as an assembly person, I'm lacking clarity as to what our relationship is to the hospital right now. And because of that, it does make me uncomfortable. What I'd rather have us doing is sitting down and talking to the hospital board and Liz about to find a way to clarify the nature of our financial responsibility so we know what's expected of us, so we can maintain a really good community hospital, which is a core piece of having a small island community. But without those boundaries or rules of the relationship being set out, it definitely makes me uncomfortable.
I might weigh in here too, Mr. Mayor. I know we coined the tenant and landlord relationship, and typically that usually means that we receive money from our tenants. And in lieu of that, maybe we should develop a relationship where they promise to pay a certain amount of money towards the maintenance of that building. In other words, make a payment to us, which we just reinvest in the building that we own. And we haven't got that relationship right now. I think they're asking us to maybe start down this road, so maybe we can use this as maybe a jumping-off spot where they can maybe pay us $22,000 for rent this year, and we'll just turn it over to maintenance and repair on the building. Just for conversation's sake.
Liz, I wanted to ask you a question. If the borough did not choose to fund this, how would the hospital pay for this repair? And yeah, so the public can hear.
Good question.
Well, just speak to a few of the comments. The board asked me to write this letter, so not speaking as the administrator, but as a representative of the board, the relationship with the borough and the hospital right now, according to all the guidelines and the legal entities that we have, is that we have the greatest autonomy possible. The dilemma is that the building is owned by the borough. So, therefore, many hospitals, for example, a building is owned by the community. For example, in Fairbanks Memorial, they own, the foundation owns the building, but it's operated by Banner Health. So, in essence, it's very similar. The borough owns the building, but it's operated by the hospital board. So it's not unusual at all to have a community organization like the borough or a city or a district own a building, or even another entity, and then someone else operates it. The dilemma for the hospital is that, as we all know, the building's very old. There's no amount of operational money that is going to allow the hospital to repair everything that has to be repaired, get a new tub room, remodel the long-term care facility, and stay up to date with current technology and just current maintenance. So this letter is is just a request for this one item, but also to engage in having the dialogue again to continue to have work sessions, because we have had work sessions about what is the relationship with the hospital. And just because the borough owns the hospital doesn't mean they have to operate it. I mean, it is two real separate things. And typically in communities that the borough or city owns the building, they don't pay rent. They do get support. For example, in Kenai, they get $1.4 million from their borough, but they don't operate they don't have anything to do with operations. The administration would come and say, here's our building needs, because it's the borough's building. So at the end of the day, whoever operates the hospital, it's really a separate issue from who owns the structure of the building. So up to this point, the hospital has had to repair and maintain and replace everything. And that's why there's many things that are not maintained or repaired. They haven't had the money for years and years and years and years. This is not really a new problem or a new dilemma. It's been going on for years and years and years. We have a long-term care unit that's probably 15 to 20 years behind the times, and so that's an example. We will pay for it. It will be at the cost of other things that we don't do, so that's where we'll get the money from.
May I ask a question while you're here? In your opinion, what can we do to put a structure to the relationship? I hear we're like, you know, we need to open the door, move forward, kind of get a dialogue rolling. Okay, in your mind, what's the best way to go about formalizing what our financial relationship is with the hospital? And full disclosure, I want to support the hospital financially because it's a critical part of an island community. No hospital, no community. I'm with you on that. I don't mean this in a contentious way, but I struggle with, let's just get into it. Let's talk about, find a way to make this happen.
Well,
how would you see doing that?
I would propose that the cleanest way possible is not to get into operations, but get into capital equipment and maintenance and repairs and fund the part of the building. Our goal at the hospital is to make it on operations. So whatever we bring in and whatever we expend, but I'll tell you, we cannot, you're right. I mean, there's probably hundreds of thousands of dollars. We did get on the borough capital list, but it's way down. We didn't get approved. We did get approved for the roof. We're going to have an overage of about $85,000. That's so far. And so if the hospital has to continue to pay all the building requirements, we're not going to be able to make it on operations. And that's because you only have one pot of money, and if we pay for something on one end, we have to take money out of something else. So, you know, it's a good community hospital. It provides a good service. We have 15 long-term care residents. We have acute care. We have surgery. We have the clinic. We have to have a hospital, but we have to have a building that we can work in. So I really think, you know, down the road, getting approval from the assembly for what do they feel that they could support the building. You know, I would keep it very clean and start there. To me, that's the cleanest approach.
So not to put you totally on the spot, Liz, but to put you on the spot.
Sure.
You mentioned the overage with the roof project. Do you anticipate that you will also be coming back to the assembly and asking for funding for that or for other projects this year?
It depends on the will of the board. The board would give me the direction for that. You know, I think this was a starting point because we haven't had a work session for a while and we want to get started, but we also saw that the hospital was given no money in the budget and we had asked for it. And, you know, I just want to stress the importance. You can't run a hospital in a building that's going to fall apart. And it's the borough's building. It's a community hospital. Operations is really separate from the building, the roof, the maintenance, a tub room that works, things like that.
But going on with what Jay said, I mean, it's obvious we need a hospital. We need an excellent hospital. Mm-hmm. Because it just, you know, we don't have a whole lot of options here.
Right.
The thing I'd be really uncomfortable with is there'd have to be more of a connected relationship. Because I couldn't go to the voters who, yeah, I know we're looking at about $20 million in capital projects, so you're looking at least a couple million, and that's not 20 years down the road. That's in the mm-hmm. next couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
So, in from what you're saying, you guys don't have any money in your in a capital project budget.
Well, we do have reserves.
But you yes. you haven't focused any of that for a specific project or.
No, we had a little over $4 million, and then we had the line of credit. So you have to go back. The line of credit was in effect for many, many, many years, 9 or 10 years, and. So probably what happened, why you never really heard from anybody at the hospital, is if they needed repairs or whatever, they took the money out of line of credit. We don't have that anymore. The hospital does have a reserve. It's gone quite a bit down. We're trying to build it back up. And, you know, the goal of having reserves would be to get it to a certain point.
Right.
And then perhaps if the board, this has to be approved by the board, but what I would see is then say, you know, I'm comfortable with having X amount in reserves. Anything over that, maybe we'll take half of that per year and buy beds. But because we have beds, that in each bed is $10,000. And so we have to buy equipment and we have to buy beds. Sure. And so that's why we want to grow back our investments. But if it came to it, yeah, the board would have to approve, and they did approve to take the overage for the roof out of the reserves. But at the end of the day, you know, you still you don't want to get so far down that you don't have anything.
Right. No, and I know with our budget, we've expended what, like 99.7% of it is dedicated.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't have...
No.
The only way we could meet your needs mm-hmm. and meet our capital project needs mm-hmm. is increase in the mill rate or some sort of taxes.
Well, and that's why
you know, a lot more than the cigarette taxes even.
Well,
we'd have to have a more uh-huh. of a cooperative relationship across the board. You know, like with the roof project, mm-hmm. I know that was kind of you guys took the lead on that. And, you know, even though the grant came through us.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's still too hazy.
Okay. Well, I guess one of the reasons that we were excited about a tobacco tax is that $100,000, if it could be dedicated for the building, is $100,000 that we don't have.
Right.
And so, you know, I understand everybody's budget, and I think our board would feel very grateful to get that kind of amount of okay. money. So that's what we were hoping for.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Thanks a lot, Liz. Is there any more discussion? Hearing none, will the clerk call the roll?
No.
Jay?
Yes.
Kurt?
No.
Nancy?
No.
Cindy?
No. The motion fails 4-1. Moving on to communications. Has anyone received any communications? And the next item on the agenda is assembly discussion items. And are there any recognitions?
I've got one. This is a little strange, but you know, it's coming from me, so that's normal. I'd really like to recognize the people that come and make the public comments, because as Jay had mentioned before, you know, we need to keep this process as democratic as possible, and all it takes a lot for people to come up, and yeah, I know it's not comfortable, but I really appreciate their comments and the whole array we get of them. It just really helps makes me see a broader view of things, and I really encourage people to continue doing that. So I guess I just like to recognize the public for all their efforts and hope that they continue.
Anyone else? And I wanted to extend my thanks, sort of in a dual role, to the Salmon Derby Committee. And those folks were Ron Lesh, Barb Luer, Grant Trask, Desi Burrell, Cynthia Matisson, Doug Weldy, Sally Dwyer, and then Shay Childs and her family helped run the weigh station. We looked at the stats for the Salmon Derby, and although many people may think it's mostly local people fishing the Derby, we had representatives from 14 states and someone from Australia fishing in the Salmon Derby. So it does bring a lot of revenue to our community in terms of groceries and gasoline and other services, and it takes a lot of time and effort to put that together, so I wanted to recognize those folks. And then we are going to, I guess, do we need a motion to go to executive session?
I'd like to make a motion to move into executive session for the purpose of discussing PMEA union negotiations.
Second. John Haverlick moved and Kurt Wallhuter seconded that we move to executive session. We'll take a 5-minute recess and then we'll come back.
We'll take a vote on that.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry.
Y'all ready?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Jimmy?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
You.
Motion passes. We'll resume in 5 minutes.